The United States and Israel kicked off a war in Iran overnight. They might find it much harder to finish it as quickly. A wide range of players, from Gulf states with U.S. bases and vulnerable desalination plants, to regional proxies such as Hezbollah in Lebanon, each have their own interest in the outcome of the conflict. And for some, those interests have been changing. Saudi Arabia has fashioned a global mediator role for itself in recent years, even seeking détente with rival Iran in 2023. But now it's seeing the limits of diplomacy. If they stop attacking us, then there is no need to discuss military options, a senior Saudi Foreign Ministry official told our correspondent Taylor Luck. But if Iran continues to attack us, we will have to consider all options. It's Thursday, April 2nd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. China and Pakistan released a 5-point Middle East peace proposal. Pakistani Foreign Minister Ishaq Dar met with his Chinese counterpart in Beijing on Tuesday to rally support for Islamabad's mediation efforts in the Iran war. Their plan includes ceasing attacks on critical infrastructure, including desalination and nuclear power plants, and reopening the Strait of Hormuz. So far, China has kept its distance from the conflict, echoing calls for a ceasefire, but placing the onus on the United States and Israel to make it happen. Washington has yet to comment on the new plan. The Mexican government denies covering up the origins of an oil spill. Using satellite imagery, environmental groups allege a leak in state-run infrastructure led to an oil slick spanning more than 140 miles of coastline in the Gulf of Mexico in early February. The government says the spill originated from a ship anchored off the coast in March and that no leak has been reported from state pipelines. Though oil is no longer visible on the water's surface, fishing communities in the state of Veracruz said on Wednesday that the emergency had left them without their livelihoods. The lack of information around the spill is feeding into both economic and environmental damage, activists say. Also, Congo is headed to the World Cup for the first time in 52 years. Government officials declared Wednesday a public holiday to mark the historic victory. Celebrations broke out across the country. The decisive moment came off a header from defender Alex Twanzebe in the 100th minute to secure a 1-0 win over Jamaica. To score the winning goal for your country, this is what every player dreams of, the former Manchester United player said. The win brought a rare moment of unity and joy in a country facing ongoing conflict in its eastern region, where millions have been displaced. The last time Congo qualified was in 1974, when it competed as Zaire. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news, including a letter from Henry Gass at Johnson Space Center as he watches four astronauts launch into deep space for the Artemis II mission. As more ground forces head to Iran, shifting threats and end goals could either baffle opponents and lead to success, or pull the United States into another forever war. Anna Maureen Grobe reports for The Monitor. Saudi Arabia says it's ready to take all necessary measures to defend itself from Iran. Riyadh is still hoping for a diplomatic breakthrough, but it's also getting ready to exercise military options if necessary. Taylor Luck reports from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, for The Monitor. The number of orphanages in Haiti exploded following a 2010 earthquake. Today, amid growing international research and violence in Haiti, there's a push to place children with relatives or in foster care. Contributor Linnea Ferm reports from Les Cayes and Port-au-Prince, Haiti, for The Monitor. Many landlocked Ethiopians want a slice of their neighbor's extensive coastline. Both sides have troops at the border. Is another conflict inevitable? Ryan Lenora Brown reports for The Monitor. In one of the biggest cases of the year, Supreme Court justices sounded wary of the government's argument that the Constitution does not guarantee birthright citizenship. In a first, the President of the United States attended the oral argument. Henry Gass and Cameron Pugh report for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on truth-seeking Russians trying to save Telegram. After more than 4 years of war in Ukraine, President Vladimir Putin might be discovering that adherence to truth and open communications can be essential to ensuring a motivated military. A Kremlin attempt to steadily shut down Russia's most popular and effective messaging platform, Telegram, has stirred dissent among civilian volunteers who assist the war online. They are the patriotic digital influencers who arrange money and supplies, the resources the military does not reliably provide, for soldiers on the front lines. Without free access to an independent app like Telegram, which has already been slowly throttled for months, this civil society of auxiliary supporters could turn on the government. Morale in the army ranks might fall fast. Spotty access to Telegram has also begun to reduce the ability of soldiers to message their families. All military work goes through Telegram, all communication, a Russian soldier told Politico. That would be like shooting the entire Russian army in the head. A government-backed new app called Max is widely seen as inadequate in its capabilities, as well as an attempt to control all digital communications and cut off Russia from the outside world. For many Russians, an open internet is essential to survive Ukrainian missile attacks. One governor of a region near Ukraine told the New York Times that Telegram is needed for air raid alerts. Disruptions to the messaging service have led to needless deaths, he said. In March, one well-known blogger, Ilya Remeslor, who had been loyal to Mr. Putin, turned on the Kremlin for its strangling of internet and media freedoms. He has since been put in a psychiatric ward. Frequent internet blackouts and the loss of access to foreign apps such as YouTube have already disrupted daily life. Memes have made fun of Russians using paper maps, pagers, and walkie-talkies. Last week, protests in defense of Telegram were planned in more than 24 cities and towns, but were prevented by local officials. And as more people rush to use censor-skirting VPNs, or virtual private networks, officials are clamping down on those, too. A survey released last month found 83% of teenagers have reacted negatively to the internet restrictions. Nearly half of the teens said they were angry, and 15% said they were crying. The Russian inventor of Telegram, tech billionaire Pavel Durov, who now lives in self-exile in the United Arab Emirates, said the Kremlin's moves on free speech are a sad spectacle of a state afraid of its own people. Yet his fellow citizens' response to the expected end of Telegram could end up being a force for freedom. And the same ideal of liberty, it turns out, is just what the people of Ukraine are defending. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how looking to God rather than matter for an understanding of what's real about us brings healing. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Victoria Hoffman, and Tim Malone.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.